To be hopeful in bad times is not just foolishly romantic. It is based on the fact that human history is a history not only of cruelty, but also of compassion, sacrifice, courage, kindness. What we choose to emphasize in this complex history will determine our lives. If we see only the worst, it destroys our capacity to do something. If we remember those times and places, and there are so many, where people have behaved magnificently, this gives us the energy to act, and at least the possibility of sending this spinning top of a world in a different direction. And if we do act, in however small a way, we don't have to wait for some grand utopian future. The future is an infinite succession of presents, and to live now as we think human beings should live, in defiance of all that is bad around us, is itself a marvelous victory. And that quote comes from Howard Zinn. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. And it is important to look at what we've achieved through history, folks. We have achieved some great things. And really, when you look at all of the positive change that's ever been brought about on this planet, every revolution that has ever been sparked, anything that's ever emancipated human beings from the bondage that they've been in to any degree, has always been an event which was instigated ultimately by the actions of one single person. Everything comes from the actions of single people, folks. Every idea is born in the mind of one solitary individual, and ultimately that ripples out to inspire others, and so the revolution begins. But ultimately, it's always come down to that one person being willing to act at the onset, and that is true for everything of a positive nature and everything of a negative nature that's ever happened throughout our vast and very colourful history. And I find that to be an incredibly inspirational thing to think about, an incredibly inspirational thing to realize, that just the power of human imagination to create things, everything that we've got around us ultimately stemmed from an idea that somebody had. The desk that I'm sitting on was an idea that somebody had, and they put it into action and they built the desk. The concept of slavery, the concept of this prison system, the concept of the debt slavery system that keeps us so under control and maintains human consciousness within a system of commerce was an idea that somebody had. And the idea that is beginning to creep into people's minds these days is the idea, the concept of freedom. Because people are beginning to realize that they are not free. They are simply free range. Indeed, true freedom is something that those human beings who live within the civilized sections of society are yet to experience. Because freedom is something that simply doesn't come with civilization. Civilization itself requires regulation. It requires rules. It requires people to be subservient to certain authorities that claim power. And this may not be a bad thing if it was done in an honest, open, and compassionate way. If we had a system which had its basis in integrity, then it may not be a bad thing. But with the system that we currently have, it is a very bad thing. Simply because those who control the system do not have the vast majority of mankind's best interests at heart, nor do they have the best interests of the planet or any other life forms at heart. And this can be clearly seen simply by appraising the powers who believe they be by their actions. And that is one reason why it is so important for people to pay attention, and why it's so important for people to become proactive in their community in order to bring about some positive change, because they can bring about this change. One person can bring about change, and all we have to do to confirm that fact is look at history and realize that every idea, every spark, every revolution, any event that has changed the direction this planet is going in has ultimately been the creation of one individual's mind, one thought that sparked in the mind of one person that then rippled out and inspired others to follow suit. And that is just one reason why people out there should not feel like they are a little person who is not capable of bringing about change, a little person who can have no effect on the big system, because nothing could be further from the truth. The system itself is the product of an idea that somebody had, and all we have to do is have another idea and inspire those around us with this idea. And if we choose to participate, we could change the world in a day. It always comes down to participation, though, ladies and gentlemen. There are too many people who have ideas, but they don't put them into practice. And an idea that is not put into practice is simply a wasted thought. I had an idea 6 or 7 years ago. I had an idea that I could change the world if I started speaking out about what I know. I had an idea that if I created a website and I spoke to people from my heart and I gave them my perspective of what I see in the world and I delivered it to them in a manner which was based in common sense and compassion and empowerment, that people would listen and people would begin to wake up and see the world through different eyes, and that we would change things. This was my idea, and so I created the Crow House website and started putting information out there to people. But I didn't know how to really harness the power of the internet, and I didn't feel like I was really reaching enough people. And so I thought, well, what I really should do is I should be a radio host. Wouldn't it be good if I was a radio host and I was speaking to the world and the world was actually listening? I had the idea that that would be a way to reach people, but I didn't have any idea of how to put it into practice. I didn't know about internet radio. I didn't know about blog talk radio, any of that sort of stuff. I didn't even really know about YouTube when I first had the idea. I thought YouTube was a place where school kids went and put their home videos. But then when I realized that YouTube was a lot more than that, and that there was in fact an entire truth movement on YouTube, then I had the idea to create the big picture. I posted on YouTube. I didn't expect anybody to watch it, but I thought it was a good idea to do anyway. And so I did it, and because I put that out, I was contacted by a radio host from Kansas who interviewed me, and later the station offered me a job as a radio host. So I kind of manifested the radio host position simply by having the idea that that may be a way to reach vast amounts of people and thereby change the world. I had the idea, and then by following synchronicities in my life, the idea became a reality. And that is the importance of synchronicities as well. That's the importance of being aware of synchronicities in your life and following these synchronicities when they offer to lead you places. Because that's what they're always doing. Synchronicities are always offering you a different path than the one you thought you were going to take. You know, this is an electrical universe, and every thought that leaves your head as an electromagnetic impulse. And it's the same with an idea. So you could think of an idea when it comes into being and you have that light bulb moment and this idea appears. It becomes its own entity, and it has its own life, and it can create its own reality. And when we remove thought and we stop trying to plan things and we simply have the idea and allow the synchronicities to lead us, that's when the magic happens. Well, that's what I've found anyway. That is certainly when the magic happens in my life. It's when I plan things and I have steadfast concepts in my head that I wish to perform, that the idea is not allowed to blossom on its own. The idea is not able to manifest through synchronistic events. You know, you have an idea, you create a rigid structure around the idea, and you impede the idea's ability to be able to connect with the energy field around it and thus manifest the synchronicities that you need to set the idea in motion. Well, this is the way I've found it in my life anyway. This is just the way it works for me. every time I try to plan something, it never really works. Something always goes wrong. But if I just have the idea and then allow the synchronicities to take me there, the idea always manifests. It may not be exactly the way I thought it was going to be in the beginning, but it always manifests the way it should, and very often it works out to be better than what I thought it was going to be. And had I put those constraints around it, I would have in fact limited myself in my possibilities, I would have limited my achievements, and I would have limited the scope that the idea could attain. And look, don't get me wrong when I'm saying don't plan things, because of course you can't just have an idea then sit in your chair and wait for the world to deliver your idea to you. You have to put something in motion. But what I'm saying is don't create too much of a rigid structure around your idea. Just have the idea. Start putting some steps in motion and following this and keeping a positive outlook on it. And the things that you put in motion may not even be directly related to the idea that you had. Like my idea that it would be a good idea to be a radio host, and so I put out the big picture on YouTube, which was completely unrelated to anything about being a radio host, but it led to that. So you just have the idea, okay, that's good, keep it in the back of your mind, and then just start putting things in motion in your life, but always keep a lookout for little synchronicities along the way. And you'll find that things will manifest in your life, which will help this idea along. People and things that you least expect will just make themselves available to you when you least expect it, and magic will happen. It just does. The idea that I wanted to go and make the film in Peru, in the Amazon, I had the idea, I had no concept of how I was actually going to get there and do it. I certainly didn't know how I was going to afford to do it, and suddenly the whole thing just manifested for me because of synchronicities. This is always the way. When we were in the Amazon, there was one particular section where we wanted to go. There was one particular piece of forest where there's been some vast clearing that we wanted to see, and we tried twice to get to this section of forest, but we were not able to get there due to rain and due to other things holding us back, and we eventually had to hire a seaplane and fly over the section of jungle in question. But the point is that had we not done that, we would not actually have seen the vast extent of the destruction that we saw. Had we driven in there the first time, we would have found one clearing, and we would have thought, yes, this is pretty bad. But we would never have got the aerial view to see the actual amount of devastation that has been done. So again, it was a synchronistic series of events. And it was the rigid planning that was preventing us from getting the information that we needed. But when we just opened ourselves up to it and let things flow the way they should and the way they could, suddenly everything just manifested, following synchronicities. You see, had we ever gotten in there by road, we would never have bothered to take the flight. And had we not taken the flight, we would never have got the footage that we need to be able to accurately portray the amount of devastation that is being inflicted upon the region. And the point with all this is that even in what is perceived to be tragedy, like we couldn't get there, we got bogged, we just couldn't make it to go and see these clearings, in all of this stuff which would appear to be setbacks in our mission, actually a light shined through, and what shined through at the end was vastly superior than what it would have been had we followed the rigid planning. So synchronicities are always there for a reason, and what looks like a setback, what looks like something that is knocking you back, is often in fact something which is providing you with an opportunity to achieve something which may very well be far greater. And that's what I believe this time in human history is. That's why things are getting so negative. It's synchronistic. It's giving humankind the opportunity we need to become self-aware again. It's providing us with the opportunity we need to rediscover ourselves. It's giving us, on a silver platter, the opportunity to address the situation and to fix the problem. Because human consciousness is never going to wake up and come online. People are never going to rediscover themselves unless they're given the opportunity to do so. And continuing along in a mundane 9-to-5 life where everything is flowing smoothly and there's no ups and downs and everything's nice and safe, This is not going to provide you with any opportunity for growth. It's not going to provide you with any opportunity for self-awareness. Growth spurts and self-awareness spurts and leaps in consciousness and leaps in the evolution of consciousness always come in fits and spurts, and they always come from situations that arise out of trauma. Think of childbirth, a very, very painful experience, but a very beautiful experience in which new life is born. And human consciousness coming back online and people rediscovering themselves can very much be likened to childbirth, because it is a painful process, but one that ultimately delivers something that is truly life, because what it delivers to us ultimately is freedom and self-responsibility. And you can even liken the events I've just described for you that occurred in the Amazon jungle to childbirth, folks, because it was painful getting stuck and not being able to make our way to these clearings. But ultimately, what it delivered was new life. And ultimately, all that was needed to create this life was the idea that we wish to get to these clearings. So the power of an idea can create incredible things. The power of an idea is what has created the global prison system that is currently closing in around us. The power of an idea was what created World War II. The power of an idea is what created Fukushima. And what prevents us from addressing all of these issues is the idea that people have that they are powerless and that their ideas do not matter. Because they do. Now, the idea that I could create the Crow House and become a radio host and reach lots of people was just something that happened, and I did not plan or take any steps to make that happen, really, at all. It just happened. Because when an idea wants to happen, as soon as the idea is born, if it wants to happen, it will happen. All you have to do is pay attention. But you've got to have the idea to begin with. And this is where a lot of the subtle mind control of our society comes into play, because this society controls what ideas people have. This is done by keeping people in a constant state of brain fog through fluoride and electromagnetic bombardment and television and all of the ideas that belong to other people that they implant within the minds of the general population. And you've really got to ask yourself, folks, where are you getting your ideas from? Are they really your ideas? And the problem, as I said, is that the idea that has been instilled into people is that there is no way they can address this system. But there is, because nobody has control over you. There's nobody on this earth who is any more powerful than anybody else. The only thing that makes people more powerful than you is because the people who hold the power band together in groups and they use a paper-based reality and paper-based legal system by means of which they grant themselves a monopoly on violence and a group of employees that they can use to carry out this violence, and they keep the society divided. And that is absolutely key to understanding how this control mechanism works and to seeing what the key to escaping the control system is. Because they band together in groups and they work together, but they keep society divided. There it is, right there. It isn't that there's a lot of them, it's just that they work together, whereas we are divided right down to each individual, even divided within our families, not just amongst our neighbours and amongst our friends, but we even find division within our families because we're trained to have this divided attitude. And it's a program. It's a programmed division that exists replete throughout our society. And it is this division of society, this divided state of the society, and the way the idea that each person is separate is instilled into people, and the idea that they have no power against the system, and the idea that it's all about number one and you only have to look after yourself, and it's all about the one with the most wins, and the idea that you have to have social standing and economic value above everything else, that has created and perpetuated this situation. And these are all other people's ideas that have been programmed into the general population. Well, back in 2008, I had the idea that I could save the world if I could help people rediscover themselves. No agenda, no money involved, no commerce to be dealt with, just words from the heart. I had the idea that if I spoke, people would listen, and people would start taking positive steps in their own community. I'm pleased to say I've seen this idea take root, and I've seen a lot of people take the idea on board and start having their own ideas about how this could be achieved. And so I'm starting to see the world change. And it's not just me that had the idea I could do this. There are a lot of people that are out there working to help wake people up to the fact that the world is all messed up and we need to pay attention. But what people, I believe, need to do is to start nurturing their own ideas and start implementing their own ideas in their own communities and start bringing these ideas into fruition, following the synchronicities in their lives and seeing where their lives lead them. Because I still have the idea that we can save the world and we can change the world if we participate. And I've had another idea. I had the idea that we could stop the destruction of the Amazon rainforest. The concept was that, well, people believe that you can own the earth. I don't, but they do. And they believe that's what gives them the ability to destroy large sections of the earth, such as the Amazon rainforest. Companies come in, they buy up sections. They believe that now because they own that section, they can do what they want to it. So, okay, let's buy it ourselves. Let's the people of Earth buy the Amazon rainforest. Let's buy up all the rainforest that we can possibly buy, and let's hold it in trust for the people. Let's hold it in trust for the natives who live there and appoint the local natives, the elders, the people who actually care about the forest. Let's appoint these people as custodians of their traditional lands, and let's put the entire Amazon rainforest in a trust, in a foundation, where it can be held for future generations and for all the people of the earth. I had this idea that this could be done. I was in the Amazon rainforest in 2012, and I had a vision while I was there, and this idea that we could just buy the whole thing if the people of the world decided they wanted to participate in such a venture. And I had the idea that if we did buy the Amazon rainforest, if we could at least start buying up large sections of it, it would inspire people. It would show people what we can achieve if we put our minds to things. And I would be able to use this idea, this confidence that people would gain in themselves by seeing this action taken, in order to launch the Full Circle Project, a project designed to take mankind full circle back to what they should be, and to put government back in their rightful position as public trustees and not as the overlords that they have exalted themselves to be. Because I truly believe that we can do this, ladies and gentlemen. I truly believe that with enough public attention and a respectful, common sense enough approach to any situation, if it is done publicly enough, with enough of the community behind it and supporting it, then we can rein this whole thing in and we can take the entire world in a different direction. I really believe it's the disempowerment of the common man, the disempowerment of the people of this earth, their belief in the idea that they are disempowered, that is the real problem that we face on this planet. Because it's all just people, folks. The only people that we seem to fear are the very people that we employ to manage our infrastructure. They're public trustees, that's all they are. We elect these people to office. They're not our rulers. They're people that we put in place to look after the roads and look after the schools, look after the transport system, make sure the trains run on time, make sure the supermarket shelves are stocked. That's their job. But we've forgotten that. We've forgotten that that's all they are. We've forgotten that they're just people. And what we need to do is create a mechanism whereby we don't ask their permission for what we do, we just do what needs to be done. And I think if we can put a concerted effort into making an impact in the Amazon jungle and then showing it to the world, look what we just did, look what we just saved, then I think it will inspire people. I think it will inspire people to want change. I think it will inspire people to want to start conducting their own workshops in their own communities under the umbrella of the Full Circle Project. Because if we can get the funding from the people in order to support the people, then we can fund the projects in different communities. But all this has to be publicly funded. It all has to be done by the people. But what we need to provide for the people is an idea that works. And that's what I believe this could be. In fact, I have so much faith in the ability of this project to work that it's what I've been putting all of my time into. And in the spirit of making this happen, a foundation has already been created to handle the whole Amazon buyback and the whole Full Circle Project. The foundation is called the In La Cache Foundation because, as you've often heard me say, in La Cache, I believe we are all each other. I believe if we can treat each other as each other and work together, then we can make a difference. And that's what this foundation and this project is all about. The In La Cache Foundation is a private foundation. It exists outside the jurisdiction of government. It is a foundation created for the people and to further the causes and objectives of the Full Circle Project. And I truly do believe that it is most certainly an idea whose time has come. Ideas truly can be extremely powerful things, ladies and gentlemen, and I have an idea that we can be free if we simply pay attention and apply ourselves to the world in which we live. And so that's why I have continued to bring you this message for so many years. But I think it's break time here now on American Voice Radio, ladies and gentlemen, so I'll have to leave it there for now. And we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today, and I'll look forward to speaking to you in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Now, many people have asked me over the years why I do what I do, why I continue to do what I do, why I bother to believe that one voice could make a difference. Why I bother spending my time speaking out the way I do? Don't I get dragged down with all the negativity? And why can't I just enjoy life? And I've got to say, look, I do enjoy what I do. I enjoy knowing what I know. I mean, it isn't pleasant information, but I'm certainly happy to know it. And I enjoy empowering other people. I love to see the results of that empowerment. I get so many letters from people saying how their life has been changed and how it's been changed for the better. And that really is what keeps me going. But one of the main reasons that I do what I do and why I continue to do so is simply because it needs to be done. It really isn't a choice for me. I mean, I can see what's going on. I can see what is being created around us. I can see what this world is very rapidly becoming. And I have a son. I would like my son to have a future. I'd like him to have a world that still supports human creativity, still supports life, and still allows freedom. And I feel that with the understanding and the knowledge that I have of the world, and in seeing the world the way I see it, well, a certain responsibility comes with that information. And I'm pretty sure that every other person who is awake and who is speaking out to people online feels exactly the same way in that regard. And really, when you look at it, well, frankly, the other choice is for me to do nothing. And that is simply not an option. Because I truly do believe in the power of one. I believe in the power of one voice, and I do believe in the power of an idea. And the idea of freedom is a concept that is a new idea in the mind of man. It's a word that's been bandied around a lot, but it's never actually been experienced. But it is an idea and a concept which is now beginning to blossom. And that, I believe, is why we are seeing this huge lockdown that's occurring around the planet, but also this lockdown is providing us with the opportunity we need to create this freedom. That's what it is, folks. As I said earlier in the show, it is a synchronistic event. that is giving us the opportunity we need to create something far better than what we currently have, and something far better than the direction in which we are currently going. And it's a difficult, convoluted mess to find your way through. I mean, here we are in this position, in this reality that we've created, this commerce, paper-based reality that we're all enslaved to. And we need to find a way out of it. But the only way to make your way out of it is by using commerce. It's really an interesting trap that we're caught in. Because, I mean, I know that money is inherently evil stuff, and yet it's only by using money that I'm able to even do something like launch the Full Circle Project. You need money in order to point out to people the fact that they don't need money. It's really a twisted dichotomy that we're caught in. But that is the sad fact of the matter. So it's difficult to navigate a way through this. I've tried very much with the Crow House. I've never sold anything from the Crow House. Well, now I've got some T-shirts that are for sale. But it's an interesting thing how money is such inherently evil stuff, and I've never had commerce as anything to do with the website, and I've worked so hard to point out to people the need to free themselves from the commercial system, and yet while we are still enslaved to that commercial system, we need to find a mechanism with which to manipulate that system to our advantage so that we can use the money we gather to free ourselves from the clutches of money. As twisted and convoluted as that sounds, I'm sure there has to be a way to do it. Really, a lot of it, I believe, is because of the media. I mean, the only way to get information out and saturate the world with information is through certain forms of media, and this, of course, costs money. But there is alternative media. There is social media. There is word of mouth. There is the alternate media. There is us. We can spread the word ourselves and create the media saturation that we need. But with media saturation and with the hands-on community projects on the ground and with noticeable buyback schemes of Amazon Jungle and an organization that is truly making a difference, I think we can start turning the direction the ship of state is sailing in. It's an idea anyway, and I'm pretty sure that it wants to happen. You know, there are so many people out in the world who want change, but nobody really knows how to do it. A lot of them get caught down rabbit holes, get caught in movements that don't go anywhere. But what about a movement that isn't a movement? What about a movement that is just an idea whose time has come that you can implement yourself simply by changing your perspective and involving those people around you? You know, if we can create an organization whereby if someone's got something that works, we can implement that. We can fund it and implement it and get the information out to the rest of the world. Free energy devices, hidden or suppressed remedies, anything that needs our attention. We can get people on the ground where they're needed and work to make a difference locally, all over the planet, and re-educate people into who and what they are. And most especially re-educate them into what the role of government is supposed to be. And we don't have a choice, folks. We have to do this. We have to do something which is going to make a difference. We can't just join movements and go to lectures and sit back and get people up on podiums over-intellectualizing their version of the world for us and go away with our pamphlets and our DVD and our little sticker and think that we've made a difference. It doesn't work that way. We have to get involved ourselves, and we have to create a mechanism by which to do it. Something that unifies the people, but still gives them the power and freedom that they need to be themselves, to implement their own ideas, and to make a difference in their own community. But to have it connected globally, so that there are fibers. It's a web that we create ourselves. Fibers and a web of proactive people, actively engaged around this planet to make a difference. Working each independently, but also working together. Well, that's the idea, anyway, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I'm probably going on and on about this, but it is something that I'm quite excited about. I really do believe that it's an idea whose time has come. I think it's a good idea, and I think it will make a difference. But we should never underestimate the power of a good idea. But the thing about any idea that's going to change the world is that what it's going to take is audience participation. That's what it's going to take, is for people around the world to want the idea to work, for people to want change, for people to want to be able to be involved in something, and once committing to it, to actually be involved and actually do something to make a difference, not just offer lip service. Because there's also a great deal of that. There's a great deal of protests, there's a great deal of rallies, there's a great deal of rabbit holes that people are led down, but very often they're just blind alleys that don't make a difference. What I want to create is something that works both locally and globally. And it's not a movement that you have to go to meetings for. It's not a movement that you have to wait to come to your town to deliver a lecture. But it's something that you can do right there. Something that everybody in your local community can be involved in. And also global initiatives that people can be involved in, like the Amazon Buyback Initiative. And there I go, I've gone straight back to the same topic again, because it has excited me, and I do really believe in this initiative, ladies and gentlemen. I think 2014 has to be a year that we make a difference. It has the potential to be a year that we make a difference anyway. I hoped it would be last year, I hoped it would be the year before. I suppose I've been hoping it for a good many years now. But now that this project is in place, now the foundation has been created, now that people are seeing the global police state being built around them and it's becoming so apparent to everybody, now is the time for something like this to happen. Now's the time that we can make a difference. And hey, it's not just my idea that could work. Perhaps you've got an idea, something that will really implement change in your community, something that will make a difference, something that will put the power back into the minds of the people around you. Because that's all it is, because the power is already there. It's just in their minds they don't believe that it is, because the idea that they have no power has been instilled into them. And that's all we have to change. We've got to find a method of empowering the people. And perhaps you have an idea that you can implement in your own community. Perhaps it's an idea that you could contact me about. We could put it under the umbrella of the Full Circle Project. Perhaps we can fund it if we can get the funding to get the project off the ground. But something certainly has to give, and even if we just begin with public meetings and public workshops and the Amazon Buyback Fund, well, it's still a good place to start. It's still a way of planting the seed within your local community, and I'm sure there are many more initiatives that you've got just by listening to this show that you'd be happy to bring on board and to implement within your own version of this that you could implement in your own community. And that's the thing too, folks. I mean, don't think I've got all of the answers with this, because I don't. I'm still finding my way through it. We have the answers collectively. If we can turn inside and if we can let our ideas blossom, you'll find that the answers are there. They're just looking for a conduit for them to come through. But very often we're not open to the synchronicities around us. We're not open to even allowing ourselves to have these ideas, or to dream that the ideas we do have could somehow come to fruition. But it can't hurt to dream, ladies and gentlemen. It really can't. And if you dream a good idea and you start looking for synchronicities in your life, you might find that this idea wants to happen and will manifest itself for you. You just have to be open to the experience and allow the experience to happen. But more importantly, you've got to allow yourself to dream. But when something feels right, you've got to go with it. And that's what this project does with me. It feels right. This feels like what I've been looking for. I actually had the download to create the film and to start this Amazon Buyback Initiative when I was in the Amazon in 2012. I had quite an amazing experience while I was there, and all this came out of that. And that's probably why it feels so right to me. Because since then, all of these synchronicities have happened, which have just led me to this understanding that this simply wants to happen. But ultimately, it's going to come down to the people. It's going to come down to unity. It's going to come down to who really wants it to happen. How many people want to actually be involved? Because I certainly can't do it on my own. I do very much believe in the energies of the universe, though, ladies and gentlemen. And so I've mentioned it a few times, and when I launch the project, I will launch it and put it out there, and I'll let the energies do what they will with it. I'll let the universe react the way the universe wants to react. I believe that if the idea is a good idea, if the idea has merit, and the idea is plausible, then people will support the idea. People will feel it for themselves, and they'll want to be involved. And I really believe they will, because it's something that's going to empower people in their own community. It's something that people are going to be able to get their teeth into, and something that they will be able to visibly watch as it makes a difference around the world. I mean, it's got to start small. We've got to start by creating waves and making ripples and getting these waves and ripples bigger and bigger until more and more people begin to notice and more people get on board. And I think they will. Once we start presenting common sense to the world, I think sanity will prevail. I think that human consciousness will kick back in and come back online the way it should be. Because even though we live in a state of collective hypnosis and collective amnesia, a collective coma, if you will, there are still far more people in the world who are potentially sane than there are who are psychopathic. Only 3% of the world are born psychopathic. The vast majority of people are what we shall term average, for want of a better word. And there's about 8% of people who simply cannot be programmed. And the 8% of people who cannot be programmed are working very hard to deprogram those who have been programmed. But all of these programmed people have the potential for sanity. They have the potential for clear and rational thought. They have the potential to wake up from the collective coma that they've been kept in for so many years. And that's what I believe this project, and probably other projects around the world as well, have the potential of doing. But what I want to see with this is, as I said, something which is hands-on for people on the ground all over the planet, because I think that's what we need. People need something that isn't a pamphlet they take home. It isn't a DVD that they show their friends. It's something that they can actively be involved in themselves, that they can see making a difference around them. The question is, do people really have the courage to be involved? Because it will take courage. There will be confrontational times. There will be a lot of opposition to a project such as this. Because the powers that believe they be certainly aren't going to simply roll over and relinquish their power because we ask them nicely. There are also large sections of the alternate research movement and New Age movement who have a vested interest in maintaining the fight and who actively work to attack anything that looks like it's going to create any unity amongst the people as well. So we'll also have opposition from that direction. There is going to be a certain amount of effort that is involved in making this work, but I believe that this is the time in history that we can do it, and I think that we need to grab the opportunity as quickly and as firmly as we can. And truly, it's all about unity, folks. It's always been about unity, and it has to remain about unity. There's got to be a basis of unity and respect in all that we do, and that indeed has to be the underlying tone of this entire project. Otherwise, it will be doomed to fail from its very inception. It's very interesting how much unity seems to terrify so many people. Whenever you talk about global unity, whenever you talk about one human family, people scream New World Order and run the other way. And the ironic part is that it is the division created via that type of response which is responsible for perpetuating the system. As I said earlier in the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, it isn't that the people who control this world, the controlling hand, the ruling elite, for want of a better word, the Illuminati, if that's what you want to call them, it isn't that they are all-powerful. It's just that they are organized, and they work together as a team. There's only a few thousand of them, probably, maybe even less. At the top, there will be actually just a handful. And there's 7 billion of us, ladies and gentlemen. If even a small percentage of mankind decided to display a little unity and to band together to make some positive change, we could bring that change about very quickly. Because even a small percentage of the 7 billion population of this earth would far outnumber the controlling hand. It's just that people are afraid to put down their stuff with each other and to unite with the people around them. People are always so quick to judge others. People are so quick to point the finger. People are so quick to attack anything that interferes with their belief system, anything that interferes with the programs that they're running. People are always looking to blame an outside source. Oh, it's the devil. It's Satan. It's a big evil boogeyman that is responsible. And then there's the other direction. Oh, it's the sigils. It's the spells. It's the magic. It's the electromagnetic fields they set up. And yes, all these things do make a difference. But once you are aware these sigils and symbols and electromagnetic interferences are there, then they only affect you if you believe that they have power over you. Well, of course, this isn't so for electromagnetic interference, but it is as far as sigils and corporate logos and the symbolism and the magic that they use against you goes. The real problem with a lot of these mechanisms is that most people are simply unaware of their existence, and that's how they are controlled. Whereas the whole God versus Satan myth, well, this is just a cop-out, folks. This is just a massive externalization of your power, and it's a way of keeping people corralled so they never lift a finger against the system because they're too terrified and they're so caught up in the belief that they can never do anything against the big evil boogeyman in the sky. It's an old Roman program, ladies and gentlemen, and unfortunately people have been running it for a very long time, and in doing so very much giving their power away. But I think it's all about to change. I think now is the time that we stop running all these old programs. Now's the time we become aware that we've been running them anyway. And we deprogram ourselves. That's what really all of this is about, isn't it? It's about deprogramming people, getting people to rediscover themselves. That's what it's all about. And you can confirm this simply by seeing the reaction that people have when they suddenly become aware of how the world's actually run. They say, I woke up. It's like a veil fell away from their eyes, and they suddenly see the world differently because they stop running all the programs. Of course, there are still many residual programs that reside within people, things that are caught up in the cache of the biological computer that each of us inhabits, which is essentially what our body is. But they begin to fall away the more and more people reconnect. The more and more people become aware of the energy field around them and start to connect with reality through the energy field, the more they change their emotional state, the more they give to people, the more they step away from commerce and stop basing their entire existence on commerce. And even the donations that people give to me, I spend these donations on DVDs that I give away to other people. I spend them on health treatments that I give to other people. I spend them on things that help others. I use some of it so that I can eat and pay the rent, but what I have spare, what I have in excess, I spend on others. And if I do a trip somewhere, it's usually a synchronistic event that happened, and it was sponsored by someone else who wasn't someone who has been making donations to the website. This is just the way it works. I don't spend donation money on travel expenses. I just follow synchronicities, and that's how my life unfolds. I think things unfold the way they are supposed to. And I go to the places that I go to when I go to them because you guys out there listening to this show need the information that I get in those places. And so I just follow the synchronicities and allow it to happen. Even with the recent time that I spent in Peru, I went there and I had no real idea where I was going. I just knew that I had to go to Peru because a movie wanted to be made. So I went there and followed the synchronicity while I was there and ended up in all sorts of places and came home with 1.6 terabytes of footage that I'm now going through so I can compile it into a film. because the film itself is also simply an idea that wants to happen. It's like the Full Circle Project. It's an idea that wants to happen. And it's interesting because each one stemmed from the other. And I don't really know where this idea will lead. I can see in my mind the type of world I believe we should be living in. I can see the type of world we have the potential of creating. I can see something very, very beautiful and something that frees humankind, something that frees us all, something that allows us to start experiencing the art of our lives, something that allows us to take human creative potential to heights that we can barely imagine. I can see all this, but I don't really know what the steps are to get there. I just know it wants to happen, and so I'm doing what I can to hopefully attract the synchronicities that will lead to a positive outcome for this world that we live on and for the beautiful species that inhabit this world. Maybe I am just a dreamer. Maybe I'm just a hopeless romantic who believes he can make a difference, but who is simply attempting to find his way through a cloud. I don't really know. All I know is that I feel a change in the air. I feel a change in the water. I can taste it. I can feel it. I can see it. I can smell it. I know this wants to happen. And I know that if we participate, we can make a difference. I really do believe the world is waking up, ladies and gentlemen. It's waking up in exponential curves. I know people have been saying that for a while. I've been saying it myself for a while. But we're seeing it now. More and more every day, people are coming online. That's why the system is getting so grossly abusive in its actions. That's why we're seeing so many laws come in. That's why there are 40,000 new laws being brought in the United States this year. That's why police here in Queensland, Australia, have been given unprecedented powers to abuse and arrest the population. Because the world is waking up, and the powers that be are getting desperate to keep the place locked down. But it's not going to work, because I don't believe human consciousness will be locked down. The more they attempt to repress us, the more people will rise up and speak out. It's just up to those of us who are awake now to keep at the forefront of the fight, keep speaking out, keep making noise, keep rocking the boat, and keep leading by example in what you do. Just keep pushing this system, folks, because if we push it hard enough, eventually the wheels will fall off completely. And that's what we need to see happen. And that's what is happening. That's what will happen. We are destined to win this fight. Humankind will shine through this, and we will shine through this with a brilliance that we never imagined possible, simply because of the repressive state we were forced to go through in order to find our wings. But we are finding these wings, ladies and gentlemen, and it's happening right now. It's happening right across the globe. So never give up hope. Never give up faith in yourself. Never lose faith in yourself. Never lose faith in our ability to bring about positive change. Because if you look at history, as I've said so often through this show, every positive thing that's ever happened throughout history has ultimately come from the idea of a single person. And each of us has the potential to be that person. Thank you for joining me on the air today and listening to me rant and rave about the Full Circle Project. It is something that very much excites me. It is something that I believe in, and it is something that I believe wants to happen. If you can make a contribution to the Full Circle Project, there is a donate button to the Inlakesh Foundation on the Crow House, and I thank all the people who ever have made a contribution to the Crow House. And I would like to thank in advance anybody who is thinking about making a contribution to the Full Circle Project. Now is the time, folks, and we can make a difference if we all work together to do it. I believe 2014 is going to be our year. It's going to be the year that we turn things around. We just have to get involved. But that is it for me now, ladies and gentlemen. I'm completely out of time. I look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take good care until then. Inlakesh.